Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll pick up our study in verse 22. Let's pray before we begin the study of God's Word tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to gather into this place now and study Your Word. God, may Your Word, the Word of God, change and continue to transform the servants of God, Lord, and us as Your children, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. And may You bring, Lord, our eyes and our ears to hear and to see what You have to say to us as Your children. And God, this is Your Word. We are not reading here the opinions of men. We are reading here the Word of God. So, Lord, may we have clarity of thought. May we have clarity of comprehension as we open and hear what Your Spirit would say to us. And we'll give You the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at this book of Ephesians, and of course we began last time together. Actually, we didn't begin last time together. We began quite a while ago to look at what it is to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, for Christians, what are we supposed to look like? You remember the first three chapters of Ephesians are all about our blessings in Christ, what we have in Christ. It's not what you can do for God, like some people are saying that. They teach, you need to do this for God, you need to do that for God in order to get God to really love you and like you and be extra special. You need to do this, you need to do that. You know what the problem is? I think a lot of the church doesn't know what God's done for them because it's about what God's done for you. Okay? If you don't realize what God's done for you, then you're not going to be able to do anything for Him. That's why it starts tonight, where some of you started, and praise God for the people that responded and raised their hands to receive Christ. Listen, God has done amazing things for you. He has sent His Son to die on the cross. He has sent the power of His Spirit to enable you to do what you haven't been able to do previously. He's invited you to come whenever you need help, boldly before Him. And He'll give you the help you need. And then He has given to us a walk as He's shown us what our gifts are and what gifts He's granted to us. He's shown us now how to walk. And we started that in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, walk worthy. Since you've been given all these gifts and God is at work in your life and He loves you. And it's all by grace, nothing you can earn. God never loved you any less than He loves you now. And He never will love you any less than He loves you now. And He'll never love you any more than He loves you now. You see, and because of what Jesus has done, you see, you responded to that love by saying, Jesus, thank You for what You've done. Now, that should change your life. You see, He says, so go ahead and walk worthy. In other words, walk in a way not to get yourself worthy, but because of who you are, you need to walk in a way that demonstrates clearly all that you have and are in Christ, you see. And of course, we've looked at the importance to that end of being filled with the Spirit. You remember last time together we talked about being filled with the Spirit, you know, and then we talked about to be wise, we're to redeem the time because we live in evil days. We live in evil days, right? Have you noticed? We live in evil days. Don't waste your time on occupying yourself over much with this world. Invest in things that are going to last through eternity. Store your treasures up in heaven where nobody can rip them off and the Wall Street won't impact them, okay? And the gas prices won't take them away. Invest in stuff, in other words, at last. Kind of a hard lesson to teach your kids, isn't it? Isn't it? Give them the money, they want to run off to Toys R Us right away and buy some cheap old junk thing you know is going to break in seconds, and you plead with them, no, honey, save your money, save your money. You add to that, no, I need it today, you know, and that's what and we go, what is the matter with them? Look in the mirror. That's what's the matter with them. We're the same way, aren't we? I need to get it now, the latest, the greatest gadget. Yeah, but it's going to cost. You're going to end up, yeah, I know, but you know what? I got this check coming. And man, we're out there living for things that don't last, people. It's kind of scary to buy a new phone or a new computer because as soon as you buy it, a week later, they're going to come out with a better model, aren't they? You're going to, darn, I should have waited. Why did I wait? I should have waited. And then you buy it. Once you buy it, now it's just a phone. Before, you know, it was, oh, if I only had one of those. And I think that's what Apple has down. See, they don't make enough supply on purpose. They get you guys all to stand in line and you wait and you wait and you wait. Oh, I got to get the iPhone 5. I got to get the iPhone 5. Everybody's waiting in line. They just keep you kind of waiting for it. And then people are selling them because people are impatient. I mean, they're selling, you can sell like a $199 phone for like, one guy told me at the Verizon store up here that some guy, not in this country, in another country, paid $3,000 for an iPhone 5. Man, are you crazy? That's like misplaced priorities. But they keep you waiting, keep you... Because here's what they know. Once you have it, guess what it is? For about a couple of weeks, you're going around showing your friends, I got an iPhone 5, I got an iPhone 5, I got... After you've shown all your friends, guess what? It's a phone. It's just a phone. And then you go, I'm bored with it. Wonder when they're going to come out with the new model. Invest in stuff that lasts. Redeem the time. Use your time for better things, to impact people's lives eternally, to impact your children, to build relationships, you see, because those are the things. Guess what? Relationships are the things that are going to last beyond this life. Do you know that? So invest in relationships. Don't run around and get yourself in such a financial straits that you have to work two jobs and miss raising your children and miss spending time with your wife or your husband. Don't strap yourself with such a crazy indebtedness that you're in slavery. And if you are presently, go to Crown Financial, get out of it. Because it's not, you know, the stuff that you're, doing there, all the energy and time you're spending and all the stuff you're purchasing, you see, it doesn't last. When you leave here, guess what? It all stays here. You ever notice that? Nobody's like driving to heaven. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. It's my stuff in the back, man. And then all the family members fight over it, you know. It's amazing how ugly it can get. So we need to redeem the time because of the evil days. And then we need to be wise. We looked at that. And understanding what God's will is. And we looked at that last time together. What's God's will? Can you know God's will? Absolutely. And we looked at how you can know God's will last time together. Important that we know God's will. God's will isn't something out in the mysticals that little voices come and I think this voice and then that voice. And God's word reveals God's will. And so we can clearly know and confidently know God's will for our lives. And if you missed that study, you should pop on the internet and listen to it. And, how to know God's will. Because it's God has a plan for our lives. And so to be filled with the Spirit, to know God's will, to redeem the time, submitting to one another, it says there in verse 21, in the fear of God. The thing that's to mark our lives as Christians, it's totally different to the world, is that we're submitting to one another. Like there's not like the big cheese, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, all of you, submit to me. I'm the boss here. It's like, no, we're to be servants one of another, aren't we? Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you know what the key is to greatness? Be the servant of all. That's what God considers great. There's to be an attitude of submission. That word grates against many of us because the flesh goes, are you kidding? I'm my own person. I'm going to do my own gig. Listen, God's given you the gift of life. You need to find out what His purpose is and use it for that purpose. And submission and serving kind of go together. That's God's will. Okay? And then He moves here to wives. And so I think He wants us to get this thing on the family down, because I did the series on the family on Sunday morning, and guess what? No coincidence that we're here, and this is talking about family. What's God's will when it comes to a wife and a husband? What's God's will when it comes to children? What's God's will when it comes to fathers? What's God's will when it comes to, you know, people that are employees? What's God's will? What's God's will when it comes to employers? You know what I love about God's Word? Like, God is going to speak to us on these exact specific issues. We don't have to wonder. It's no mystery. How do you have a right relationship? How do you have with your husband and with your wife and with your children and with your boss and with your workers and co-workers? How do you do this stuff? It's all right here before us. So no mystery. No lack of clarity. He says here, wives, if you're a wife tonight, this applies to you. If you're not a wife, it doesn't apply to you. But someday it might apply to you. And if it doesn't apply to you someday, don't check out, because you know what? You might know some wives that might need some help as to what God wants for them. And so you can help them. What is it that wives are supposed to do? Well, here it is. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Note that, not everybody else's husbands. Okay? Submit to your own husbands. How? As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in most things, in some things, in the things that you like. No, what's it say there in your translation? In everything. Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Like, is this outdated? Are you sure this applies to today? I am absolutely sure. Because it's in Genesis, and we just read the previous scripture in verse 21 to where submit to one another. But when it comes to the marriage relationship, guess what? Wives, you're to submit to your husband. How? How? Just like you would submit to the Lord. Just like you would submit to the Lord. But I don't understand why He does that. Why? Do you understand everything that God is doing and why He's doing it this way? And you know, is He always on your time schedule? No. Does He always fill you in on everything He's doing exactly and how He's getting it done? No. You see, you submit to your husband and the attitude, just like you submit to the Lord. And then He tells you why. And this is something that I guarantee you, if you're not a Christian, this ain't going out over the news wires, you know? This is not something you're going to hear from your average psychologist or marriage counselor. This is totally foreign. It only applies, you see, really to Christians, because it's only possible for the Christian. It takes a spiritual woman who trusts in the sovereignty of God to do what this says. It takes faith that God has a plan and that that man of yours isn't the one that's in total control. And if he's going down the wrong path, headed down the wrong road, that God's going to take care of him and get him right. This is by no means an easy task to submit to your husbands. And sometimes he may not be too easy to submit to, because his attitude may stink. And he may, in fact, be going in the wrong direction. But you know what? He says, do it as unto the Lord. Not because he deserves it. Didn't say he deserves it. He can be an idiot, and many times I confess. I can be an idiot. Okay? I'm not proud of it. I just want you to know, ladies, I want you to know, men, that I don't always have it together. I wish I did. Listen, I thought I'd be doing a lot better by now. I thought by my age I'd be pretty much sinless. You know, when you're young, you think, 28 years old, I got married. I thought, by the time I'm 61, I'm going to have it together. Oh, God help me. You know what I realize? I need someone who is together that much more. I need a Savior. Oh, God, you've changed me. He's changed me so much. He's brought me so far, but oh, I have so far to go. So far to go. I'm learning. I'm growing. But I have not arrived. You see, ladies, this is why the Lord says to submit as unto Him. Recognizing the lordship of Christ over your husband, even when he's not having a right attitude, even when he may be headed in the wrong direction. If you ask why should you, he simply states here something that is politically incorrect in our culture today, as it could ever be, but we're not here to align ourselves with culture, are we? Because Jesus Christ is our Lord, not culture. And so, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife. In the same way, Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. So he goes on to say, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. You look at Jesus, and he set an example, which, by the way, men, we are to set. But I'm dealing with the women right now. But Jesus did submit himself, didn't he? Showing us how this submission looks. He didn't just tell us to submit. He humbled himself, God himself, humbling himself, taking on himself the form of a man. And then being born as a little baby. If I was God, I wouldn't come like that, man. I'd come and I'd blow your minds. But you see, he came as a baby. Dependent on his mommy. He grew and submitted to his daddy, Joseph, stepdaddy, really. He worked faithfully in carpentry. He knows what it is to sweat. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be told what to do. He willingly submitted himself to his earthly parents. You see, that's the example of submission. You see, the idea here, ladies, listen to this, is doesn't mean that you're to be a doormat. It doesn't mean that you're inferior. doesn't have to do with your worth before God or towards each other. All this is an expression of God's role for the woman in a marriage. And if you submit to Him as unto the Lord, trusting the Lord to take care of Him if He needs to be straightened out rather than you, guess what? Then you're fulfilling your God-ordained role. The husband is the God-appointed leader of the home, and he will be held accountable. This submission here is not to be done reluctantly. It's not to be done with a bad attitude, you see. That's why he tells you, ladies, submit as unto the Lord. How do you submit to the Lord? I'll tell you how. Let me look at how you submit to your husband. Whoa. You mean, yeah, I do. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Is that, I don't know. Is that what the Bible's teaching here? Is that what it says? So if you're submitting to your husband, he's an idiot, he's a moron. Whoa. Watch out. Is that the way you submit to God? It's a bad attitude. And ladies, your spirituality is directly tied to your attitude in your submission to your husband. You see. So how spiritual are you? How are you doing? And then, I admit that that's not an easy thing to do. It's a difficult, in fact, impossible thing to do without Christ. The only limit to your submission, and I feel a responsibility because of the way some men can use this passage to say that if he asks you to lie, steal, cheat, do something that is clearly against the teaching of God's word, you better have verse in Scripture. Then you have to obey the higher authority, which is God rather than man. Just as the disciples did. Okay? But other than that, you submit as unto the Lord in everything. But if you think that's hard, check out this next verse, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Husbands, this ain't no easy street for you. You may like that submission thing. Yeah, baby. But guess what? You're supposed to love your wife. And your example? Jesus. How you doing? How Jesus loved the church? Well, it says here how he loved the church. He gave himself for her. I challenge you to study, and you guys are going to have a little time to do this because I'm done, or because I'm already running 2 minutes late. Sorry, ladies. I'll get them next time, okay? But guys, I challenge you to look at God's word and look at Jesus and how Jesus treated the disciples when they were totally out to lunch, when they didn't get it, when they misunderstood him. I want you to look and try and find something that he did for himself, with himself in mind, when it came to how he treated and how he cared for those disciples. In fact, I challenge you to look at anyone. Look at his life, because men, that's what it's all about. You need to learn to love as Christ loved, and he loved not by getting. It wasn't all about him. He loved and demonstrated that love by what? Giving, therefore making it something that makes it far easier for us to understand what love looks like. And that's the way we are to love our wives. And then he goes on and gives us some really practical things, and he illustrates it in guy language. Because you know what God knows about you and me as guys? We have a self-love thing going on, like an ego of self-love, like it's about me thing going on. And we love our bodies and want to, you know, and feed them. And some of us want to look good, you know, as far as be built. Others don't care about that. They just feed the thing, just rah, 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 rah. But guess what? We'll take a look at how, and I love the way God ties it together with this love as to how we love ourselves physically already. Great picture as to what loving your wife looks like. So we'll look at that next time, because I said we'd get out of here on time, and I'm already a couple minutes late. So let's pray.